This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And I'm here in the studio of Tantalk Radio Network, and we are having another glorious day here in Florida. We had a few days of 5 days, I think, of rain, and now when the sun comes out, it is absolutely fantastic. Wow. I have at the bottom of the hour a sensation, literally a sensation. Her name is Carolyn Kaufman, and she's something absolutely new to me. I did not know. You know, social media is a lot of fun if you have the nerves for it. And I have managed to do Facebook and even Twitter, but I couldn't handle Instagram. And I did not realize that you could become an Instagram sensation. And so I'm going to be talking to Carolyn Kaufman at the bottom of the hour, and I'm looking forward to discovering how she became such a sensation, except I have read her two books, and she is a poet, and I actually can see why she's a sensation. It is really wonderful that somebody just can make a career for herself out of you know, in a medium that's new and that's exciting, and obviously she's gotten so many followers, so it's going to be fun to talk to her. And that's going to be at the bottom of the hour. And in a little while, I'm going to be talking to Karen Slaughter. And I'm holding up her book. It's an absolutely fantastic book. It's called The Last Widow, and it's a new book in her Will Trent series, and one that I know that anyone who is a fan of Karen's will just love it. It was wonderful when I was here at BoucherCon back in 2018. She was one of the stars of the entire event, and my bear, Pekka, got to meet her, and we had lots of fun following her around. She was on a number of different panels, and I think she was probably the hit of BoucherCon. Everybody wanted to meet her, and I did meet some ladies who had flown in all the way from Minnesota, and they didn't really care about anybody else. Their entire focus was that they needed to meet, and they wanted to see in person their favorite author, and the favorite author of so many millions of people, and for good reason, because when she writes a book that really takes you away and keeps you turning the pages. And it's funny, one of the things that these ladies told me when we were at BoucherCon, they said, well, you know, this is very funny, you know, I come from Northern Michigan, and these are actually, I don't know if I should say this, these are little old ladies from a little town in northern Minnesota, and they look like my grandmother. And I thought, I couldn't believe it. But they needed to see Karen Slaughter. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Okay, I was just telling people that at BoucherCon last year, I met so many of your fans, but three of them were three little old ladies from a tiny town in northern Minnesota, and they talk like a little bit like this, and they didn't, I didn't think they were going, you know, I was wondering who they wanted to see, some cozy mystery writers or something like that. But no, they were there. They flew all the way from Minnesota just to see you.
Well, I love my bloodthirsty old ladies.
I know.
They're my sweet spot. It's so incredible to see them come out, and I see them year after year. And they're just amazing. And they really put a lie to people thinking little old ladies are sugar and spice. A lot of them have seen an awful lot of bad things in their life, and they love crime fiction.
They do. I got such... It was my first BouchaCon, so I never... You know, I do the radio show, and I talk to the authors all the time, but I don't get that many opportunities to talk to the fans. And so I was just... I was so amazed. And because I come from northern Michigan, and so we also talk like that, and so they look like my grandmother. And I thought, all they wanted to do, I mean, they wanted to touch you. They were so excited. And I thought, yeah, this is amazing. Because I'm sure they are like absolutely thrilled. They're up there now, you know, I'm sure they pre-ordered because... Your fans do The Last Widow, which is a page turner.
Well, I'm just real grateful for them. You know, I'm about to go on tour. It starts tomorrow. Actually, it starts tonight in Atlanta. I don't count that because I get to be at home. But I love going around and meeting these readers. And one thing that people kind of forget about crime writers is we're also big readers ourselves. So most of the time I'm in a bookstore and I get a good recommendation. Some of the best books I've ever read have come from being on tour and meeting people exactly like that.
Well, I think it's absolutely, I thought it was adorable. I'm like, oh my, I never thought my grandmother would, but actually looking back on it, she did love Perry Mason. So, you know, it's funny. And this book, and because of course your books are known. I mean, they are not easy books. They are hard-hitting books, and sometimes a little bit gory, to say the least.
Yes.
And so, and this book is, well, I must say, first of all, I love Will Trent books.
Great.
I think he is just he's somebody that we really, as a reader, we enjoy learning more about him, and I'm hoping that everything will go right in his life.
Well, I think a lot of people do, but, you know, you got to remember he is part of a thriller series, so bad things happen.
Boy. And in this one, he really gets it because, of course, he has this close relationship with another character that people really enjoy, and that's Sarah, who's the medical examiner. And so this whole thing sort of rips everything apart here. And I was thinking, whoo. Of course, the book is very timely. It's it's relatable to today's events and things that are happening. But in the end, it's the characters that you have developed over the years between Will and Amanda and everybody. So, I mean, what do you want to say about the book? What's your little pitch that you give? Because I can just tell people, read it because you're going to turn the pages.
Well, that's a good pitch, actually. You know, I like to talk about social issues in my book, and I've written about these characters for a long time. But I would say two things, and one is, you know, if you've never read about Will and Sarah, this is a great book to pick up, because I never write the books where one depends on you having read the 20 that come before. I don't think that's fair to the reader. But also, I just wanted to write a really thrilling, good read with lots of twists and turns. You know, so you can take it to the beach or read it on an airplane or, you know, at night before you go to bed. It's just that hopefully for people the kind of book that they want to get back to and they want to keep turning the pages. But if you want a deeper meaning in it, I do talk about a lot of stuff that's going on in the world right now. And that's there, too.
Well, as I said, this is, I know we don't have very much time because you are like, you're always fully booked, and everybody is always so excited to talk to you and get a chance, a sort of a piece of you, and which reminds me of the last time you were on my program, we were talking about Pieces of Her, which is another wonderful book that you wrote. And is it true it's going to be a streaming video?
Yeah, Netflix has optioned it, and a few months ago I was in the writer's room. I got to meet with a group of writers who are doing the scripts. It's going to be an 8-part limited series. The producers are amazing. They've worked on things like Big Little Lies or the Nightingale movie, which is a fantastic movie set in Australia. And Charlotte, the writer, has worked on House of Cards and Homeland and Bossy Burden. I mean, it's just been a really amazing group. So I'm very excited about what they're doing. I can't wait to see it streaming, hopefully next year.
Well, I think when I first read it, I thought, oh, I would love it. I think at the time I said to you, it reads like a script because I used to write scripts, and I'm reading the book, and I forgot actually after a while that it was a book. I'm like walking through the movie. So I was so thrilled to hear, you know, the news.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I can't wait to see it.
Well, you know, the new book, The Last Widow, is, I think, terrific. Of course, you're going to be at BoucherCon this year, right? In Dallas?
I can't go this year.
No?
There's some great people there. I know I have to skip it. I'm so sad.
Okay.
I had to do a lot of extra touring this year, so I need to be able to write the book.
Well, that's a shame, because it would be perfect for you. It's glamour, glitz, and, you know, it'd be fun.
Yeah,
to...
well, next year I'll definitely be there. This one's in Houston, is that correct?
Dallas.
Yeah. Dallas, even better.
Yeah.
No, I know it's going to be a great group there. I'm really sad to be missing it.
And I'm sure those little old ladies in Minnesota, I don't know how close you're getting to Minnesota on your book tour, but they'll probably come down and find you, because I never met three old lady so excited, and how they were talking about, oh, she's so lovely, she's so interesting, and of course you are a hoot, I must say. It's wonderful to see you in person and on stage, because unlike so many other speakers, I mean, you really put on a fantastic show.
Well, I'm glad people are enjoying it. I think it's my responsibility to try to be interesting when I'm up there.
Well, you certainly do, and I know that everyone will really enjoy this book. When we talk about page turners, this is a page turner, and I hope that you know, as you go along, we all hope something. I think sometimes we just want, every once in a while, we want to send Will Trent on a nice little calm holiday so that he can have...
He sort of took one with Jack Reacher. Yeah. Lee Child and I did a short story together, so he had some of the pressure taken off. Reacher's the one who kicks butt and takes names. Will was sort of on the sidelines for that.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Okay, well, I know I don't have much time with you, so I'll let you go, because I know you're so, so busy. But I do want, again, to tell everyone that they can go to your website and find out more about you, and it's Karen Slaughter. I don't know how many millions of books you've sold now, but I know they've been translated into a lot of languages.
Yeah, over 35 languages, I think. We're maybe 37 now. Which is just crazy to think about, my books being in languages I can't even read.
Isn't that exciting? And of course, because you are such a great supporter of libraries, and just to sort of imagine your book in libraries all over the world in different languages. Isn't that exciting? Did you ever expect that from a girl, you know, from, you know, just as a young girl, that this would happen to you?
No, you know, and that's a good point about the international stuff. I think for me, I just hoped it would be at my local bookstore, and if they sold one copy, they would order another one. So it really is sort of miraculous to see all of this international success, and I feel grateful for it every day.
Well, you have done so much also for libraries, and because I love to encourage all of my listeners that... Sometimes they say, well, you know, I can't afford all the books. But there are libraries. And if you're starting to, I encourage people to start writing, the best way to become a good writer is to become a good reader.
That's absolutely right. You know, and if you stop reading, you're kind of slowing down your brain. Even if you're reading a bad book, you're learning that there's a good way to tell a story.
Exactly. Well, Karen, again, I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. It's always a joy to talk to you. You had an opportunity when we were at BoucherCon. You actually held my bear, Pekka.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's writing a book, too. And so someday I'll send it to you when he finishes his book. Okay?
Absolutely. Great. Thank you so much, Patsy.
Okay. Bye-bye, Karen. All right. Okay. Wow. She's a fascinating person. And I, as I said, when we were at BoucherCon, One of the funniest things was I'm standing in line with these three old, very old ladies. I mean, I'm don't push, rub it in, but they were really old. And one of them was in a walker. And as Karen walks by, one of the women gets tears in her eyes. Karen was on her way to lunch, and we were in a different line. And she got tears in her eyes. She said, "You know, that's Karen. That's Karen. Oh, I wish I could just touch her." And I thought, I don't know how many authors get that kind of adoration. And that, as I said, anybody who reads her books, I mean, they are really rough. This is true crime. These are not cozy mysteries. If you met these ladies, you would imagine that they're reading cozy mysteries. But they're reading her books, and they knew them in detail. Once I got into conversation with them, they knew the details of all of her books. So this is what's fun for an author. When you create characters, and in this case, I think it's Will Trent and Sarah Linton and a few of the other characters in her books, they are so relatable that as she said, you could read this book on its own and not know anything about the characters. But if you have read the other books, you get in and you feel so comfortable with these characters, you feel like you know them. And, you know, they're all this is in Georgia, it's set in Georgia. So for me, Georgia was not very relatable when I was young. I didn't read many Southern books because I wasn't that interested in the South. But then having spent quite a few summers up in Clayton, Georgia, I picked up sort of the sound of the people and what it was like and spending some time in Atlanta. So when I'm reading these books, I really feel that she's also captured the place. And so it's fascinating. I hope that, you know, if you're interested in a real sort of page turner, that is, I must say, it's full of a lot of horrific crime. But, you know, if you don't like all the blood and guts, you can skip a few things. But the actual story is fantastic, and it's really intriguing because I thought it was a lot of fun. Okay, now as I said, she was on the program before, and so I want to play a book buzz for Karen, and I hope that you will buy some of her books.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz mystery. Hey, what if the person you thought you knew best turns out to be someone you never knew at all? And what if that person was your mother? Yikes! In Pieces of Her, Book 18 by Karen Slaughter, those questions are explored. Here's the buzz. Andrea knows everything about her mother, Laura, because we all know our mothers, don't we? So after her mother, a seemingly mild-mannered woman, stops a killer during a mall shooting, Andrea discovers that her mother has a secret identity. Because it turns out that before Laura was Laura, she was someone completely different. For nearly 30 years, she's been hiding from her previous identity, lying low in the hope that no one would ever find her. But now she's been exposed, and nothing will ever be the same again. Wowzer! Karen Slaughter is an American crime writer whose first novel, Blindsided, became an international success, was published in almost 30 languages, and made the Crime Writers Association's Dagger Award shortlist for Best Thriller Debut of 2001. One well-known author put it this way: "Enter the world of Karen Slaughter. Just be forewarned, there's no going back." I'll say no more and let you decide by reading Pieces of Her by Karen Slaughter, one of the world's most popular and acclaimed storytellers. Hey, this is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. For more on my suggestions on the mysteries you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's radio-joy on paper. Rita Moreau, buzzing off for now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
How many of you listening today yearn to write stories, poems, or novels? Each of you has a story to tell, or knows of a story that others would love to read if only you could put the words on a page. The many writers' clubs in the Bay Area understand this urge and would welcome any new writer to learn with them. So go ahead and take the first step to becoming a well-known author. Sponsored by the Pinellas Writers Club.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z, and I am back, and in a few minutes I'm just waiting for a call in from Carolyn Kaufman, and we're going to be talking about how she has become an Instagram sensation. So that's very exciting. But meanwhile, I want to remind everyone, I get this question I don't know how many times a week: how do you find an agent? Well, or a publicist. And two things. First of all, I want to recommend this publicist. She is quite amazing. Her company is called Kim of LA. And it's so funny. I get books from publicists all the time. And and you know, some of them will send me sort of printed out things. About the book and why I should interview this author or that author. Kim is like an absolutely, she is so enthusiastic about her authors. Not only do I get the book, I get an email from her telling me why the author, you know, deserves to be on a radio program and why I should be talking and promoting a book. And her enthusiasm really sort of bubbles over. She is, of course, Robert Crace. You know, the publicist for Robert Crace, and which, of course, is saying a lot because he gets a lot of publicity, and that's for sure. And one of the things that he has so many wonderful things to say about her and how she prepares a publicity campaign. And so if you are an author and you think that your book might be right for her, you look at her website. It's Kim of LA, and it's a public relations firm. And you might just want to check with her and see if she will take you on as a client, because she is really something special. As I said, I get so many publicists, but very few are so enthusiastic and so really... Well, I wouldn't say pushy, but yeah, pushy. I mean, she doesn't want to give up on a client, which is what you need. And this is particularly true. She doesn't give up on a client just because sometimes, of course, I cannot interview everybody on their release date. And generally speaking, if I refused a publicist an interview, I never hear from them again about that particular book. But Kim comes back a month later, 2 months later. She says, by the way, do you have space now? Can you find a spot to take on this author? Because I sent you the book. And she goes ahead and sends me the book. And I hope that you've had a chance to read it now. And I hope that you will talk to my client. And I think that is absolutely the way that a really good publicist should work. They shouldn't give up on you just because you have a release date and nobody picks it up on the release date. We can't, you know, it's just so many minutes in a day and so many radio programs. So to have a publicist who just keeps going and says, I'm not giving up on this person, I'm going to keep trying to get an interview. And now, speaking of interviews, this is exciting. I am really thrilled to be talking to this next author because I didn't know that you could become an Instagram sensation, but I've got one right here on the phone. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, well, Carolyn Kaufman, and you are the author of When the World Didn't End, and you are quite amazing. As I said, when I started this radio program 4.5 years ago, it was hard enough for me to get into Facebook, and then I did Twitter, and then people kept saying, well, do Instagram, and I said, oh, please, I can't do one more thing in my life. So I sort of ignored Instagram. So when I got this email saying, and I did get, I have interviewed in my some young people from Wattpad, and which I found absolutely terrific. My goddaughter, Kenesha, writes, and she posts to Wattpad. But when I got the email from your people and said, she's an Instagram sensation, I said, well, I have to talk to her. So Carolyn, what does it mean to be an Instagram sensation?
I'm still figuring it out. I don't really know how it all happened. I started posting on Instagram when I was 13, and I didn't really mean anything to come of it. But throughout high school, I just gained a pretty big following, and it kind of took off from there, I guess.
Well, what's your following now?
I have close to 200,000 followers.
200,000? Oh, gosh. That is really quite amazing. But it's not actually so amazing when someone goes to your page, because you are amazing. Your work, it's so... I was so taken with it. One of my very first guests was Juan Felipe Herrera, who was, when he was nominated to become the Poet Laureate of the United States. And I was so thrilled to have him as a guest on my program. And one of the reasons is when I was very young, I actually got to see him in person. And that was many, many years ago. And so, and I've always loved poetry. And your poetry is so touching and so beautiful that it's no wonder that you're a wonder.
Thank you so much.
Wow. As you said, you started writing at a young age. You're in, how old are you now? You're old?
I'll be 20 next month.
Oh my gosh. Oh my. Yeah. She's out of her teens. Okay, almost out of her teens. So, as you put on your very, very personal poems, because in a way you sort of have the girl in all women, the voice that, and you're writing about things that we think about, and none of us are smart enough to write this down and make ourselves into a sensation, but you did, and it must be pretty thrilling to know that your words have touched so many hearts.
I never went out with the intention to, like, write for other people and become something bigger, but I really wrote because I was young and I was experiencing things and I didn't really understand them, and I was, like, scared and alone and I had no one to talk to. And so if I can, like, be that voice that makes someone in my situation, the same situation that I was in, feel less alone, like, that's all I could ever ask for.
And your page is called Poetic Poison, right?
Yeah, I've kept the username from the very beginning. I feel like I've thought about changing it over the years, but I like it. I like it.
It's your brand now. That's it. You don't want to change it. Once you got something so hot, you don't want to change it. It's just, I mean, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect for you. Are you going to, we'll talk more about what you're doing, but do you have some poems that you're going to, you have a poem that you want to do for us first?
I could read something.
Yeah, sure. That's why you're here, because I love poetry.
Okay. This world tried to kill me, but I do not hold a grudge for attempted murder. I came back with forgiveness, with excitement, tail wagging and eyes wide open like a dog finding its way back home after being left at the curb over and over and over again. I think that's the only way to get through this life, really. To pant and shake and lick your wounds and forgive, forgive, forgive once you find your way back home. Because if the world is to blame for you losing your way, then the world is to thank for you finding it again.
Oh, boy. This is what I love about poetry. A poet who can take a few simple words and turn it into something so meaningful. It's really fantastic. Now, you know, when I was looking at your books, first when the world didn't end, why that title? Why did you select that as your title for the book?
Well, it comes from a poem in the book, and it's basically sort of, I tend to think of my journey as, I don't know, like I feel like I really got a second chance at life is really how I think about it. And when I was in high school, I didn't think I would even graduate high school. I couldn't really imagine like a future of me being an adult and being happy and really living any sort of life. I really just didn't think that was ever going to happen. I was so sure that the world was over. The world was going to end for like me personally, that my life was pretty much over. And so through recovery, it was really like, it really felt like I had been expecting, I basically expected to die. And like, I suddenly woke up and the world was still there and I was happy again. And I found myself being passionate and having joy in a life that I never thought I would see again. And so I thought that it was really representative of this book because it's not just like, it's not really about the recovery process. It's more about waking up and realizing, oh my gosh, like I have this entire life ahead of me that I never thought I would have. And now it's my job to make the most of it and like be grateful for every day that I get to have here, I guess.
Well, I'm glad because when I read that, one of the things that you wrote, there is nothing more powerful than a girl with a pen who is brave enough to use it. I thought, wow, this is one smart kid, and I'm so glad that, you know, you have found your way through your problems, and, you know, everybody in this world has problems, and I've always said to people that one of the things that helps is to put your words on paper. That's why I named this program Joy on Paper, because not only do you find joy by putting your words on paper, then you can find joy by reading other people's words. And when people go to your Instagram page, I want them to just look at your photo of you holding your book. And that smile, that joy on your face is so beautiful. And I thought, whoa, this girl is just fantastic. And I was so thrilled that I had, got this request to interview you because I must say I might have missed you because I've not on Instagram and I had not heard about you. But now that I have, I think that you know, so many people are going to hear about you. And maybe if I'm still doing this program 30 years from now, you'll be the Poet Laureate of the United States.
That's some pretty big dreams. I don't know what's going to happen in the future.
But you never know, and that's the exciting thing about it. Juan Felipe Herrera is a Chicano. He grew up in the fields of California Valley, where his mother and father were picking vegetables, and he never dreamed about becoming the Poet Laureate. But I'm telling you, your words are beautiful. They really, so many people, I can see why people have just followed you, and more people will continue to follow you, because your words touch our heart. They are words that you people have them in, you have these words in your head and you don't know how to say them, and then they read you and they say, wow, she knows me, she understands me, and she's had her problems, I've had my problems, and we can overcome them and we can find the joy of living.
It's just so wild to hear people say that to me, because I think everyone reads for that reason, and I read for that reason, and I think that the books and poems that I've loved most in my life, I've really felt like, wow, like, this author is really saying everything that I felt but I could never say, or I never could put into words. So it's really crazy to hear that people have a similar reaction to things I write when I have that reaction to the things I'm reading.
Well, now, what are you, you're at in Harvard right now.
You're
at the university. What are you studying?
I'm studying English.
You're studying English.
I'm a rising junior.
Okay. Are you taking a poetry class?
I am. A lot of the pieces that are in this book, I wrote in the creative writing workshops that I was taking this year, actually.
I imagine your professor is like, oh, I have this. It's like having Emily Dickinson in your class. How am I going to teach this girl poetry? It's from her heart. It's in her soul. It's in her body. Everything about her is poetic, and not poetic poison, just poetic.
I actually really appreciate it, because I had never really taken a poetry course. I had been writing all throughout high school, but my high school didn't offer creative writing classes, and so I was sort of just writing on my own, and this year was really the first year that I ever actually took an actual poetry workshop or course. And I feel like one of the reasons why I'm so proud of this book as compared to the first one is that I feel like my writing really grew this year, because it was really my first time experiencing like an actual poetry workshop and actually having my work looked at an academic level, and that was just a completely different world for me. And I don't know how I was writing for so long without it, honestly, at this point.
It's in you. It's in you, girl. You know, when you got it in you, it was just bound to blossom, and I'm sure over the years I can't say you'll get better, but your depth and your knowledge and life, just whatever it serves up, will be, you know, what you will work with and what you will be able to share. Now, there are a number of your poems that I found intriguing. I like the little girl in pigtail one. I thought that was really clever and smart. But read us another poem or recite. Do you have them all memorized?
I do not have them memorized.
Okay. What do you want to read us next?
Here. Let's see. Okay. The femur is the strongest bone in the human body. It's stronger than concrete, more resilient than steel. It's an homage to how much your body can take, how much you can persevere. At 2 years old, mine snapped in half. My earliest memory is of the car ride to the hospital. And I want to say it was the universe's way of telling me that I'm too weak to survive. That there's no point in fighting to live because this existence will give me more than I can handle. But none of that is true. I did handle it. I did survive. I wore a body cast for weeks and relearned how to walk, and my bone still shifted back into place. My body knew how to repair what had been broken. I used to think of my injuries as proof that I am weak. Now I just see them as proof that I can recover.
Oh, wow. This is what I love about poetry. In such a, just a few words, a few verses, you can say something that I know many people who have broken their femur, including my brother, my little brother. And I remember when it happened, and he was in a body cast. And I remember waiting on him. I think it was, in some ways, it was like his most fun period, because I waited on him day after day. And he was actually so delightful. But he would never have thought to write a poem about it. And here you are, something... This is why it is so wonderful. It's so joyous to know that there's somebody out there who can take an everyday thing, an actually terrible experience, and turn it into a poem that I'm sure people will read that over and over. And I'm going to read it to my brother and say, listen, you broke your femur. Why didn't you think of writing this poem and become an Instagram sensation? You know, this is why you are, I think you are absolutely delightful.
Thank you so much.
I just get a kick out of you. I want to get into your mind and see, you know, how does it happen? It is magical. It really is magical what you are doing.
I don't know what else to say other than thank you. I mean, I like writing about really, I don't want to say mundane, but, like, regular things and speaking in a regular voice, because, I mean, I study a lot of poetry, and a lot of older poetry is written with a lot of big words, and it's difficult to understand, and people feel, like, really intimidated by it, and I feel like people feel like poetry is a little out of touch, and... So I really try when I'm writing to write how a 19-year-old girl would write. Like, I'm not trying to use a lot of big words and talk about the like human existence on this big level that is so lofty that no one else can understand it, because that's not how I talk normally. And I think that there can be something really poetic about just daily regular experiences and just the way that we talk normally and the way that we interact normally. And I think that is really where poetry is going now. And I really like that.
Well, I think that's why Emily Dickinson has that appeal, that it wasn't something lofty that she was going to, you know, start talking about the philosophy of existence and all of that. But in simple terms, you touch upon all of that just as people think, but smarter, let's just say. You can put it down on paper, which is really, I think, a thrilling thing. And I, as I said, I don't know what... I'm sure you're going to be always writing poetry. That's the thing. And I do hope that I don't know where you're going from here. What else do you want to do with your writing?
I really don't know, because writing is still something, even though it's being published, it's still something really personal to me. And I think even if no one was reading it, I would still be writing it. I think that 30 years from now, if no one's reading it, I'm going to still be writing it. But really, the past few years, it's really taken over my life. I mean, I thought I was going to go into school and be pre-med. I'd always wanted to be a doctor. And suddenly, just like the pull of writing just took over, and I couldn't ignore it anymore. And now, like, it's basically the thing that I focus most on and the thing that I study most. And I really don't know where my life is going with that, honestly. But I'm trying to be okay with that, and I'm trying to really just focus on doing things that I'm passionate and excited about, studying things that I'm passionate and excited about, and just, like, I don't know, trying to be happy and passionate and really only focusing on that instead of sort of a big master plan for what my life should look like, because I know that it'll never live up to that if I make some sort of plan. I don't know.
Well, I think your life is going to live up to a lot of wonderful things. And it's funny, the reason I asked what you were studying in Harvard, I don't know why, but for some reason I was going to say, are you studying science? Are you studying biology? Are you studying? I just felt that there was some other interest in you beyond the poetry.
Yeah, I think it does come through in my writing a lot. I mean, I basically studied biology my whole life, and I was taking pre-med courses for the first 2 years of school, and even though I'm not on a pre-med track anymore, I'm still very, very interested in biology and medicine. And I mean, there's a whole series of poems in this book that's like about dissecting cadavers. I mean, it's pretty, if you look into the poems a little bit more, they definitely, a lot of them have some science-y or medical-related theme.
Yeah, well, I felt that because, actually, that was sort of what I had planned when I was young. I never expected that I'd land up doing a radio program, but I wanted to be a doctor. And so there's something that I think that I got that vibe within you, too. And it's wanting to do good, wanting to help people. I think in the end, that's why people who, even if they never get to be doctors, they have that's their initial sort of or part of their life of what they're thinking all the time.
Yeah. That's definitely where it came from. I mean, when you're a kid, you don't really know how many professions there are in the world. And I was like, oh, I can help people. And that's really definitely where it started from.
Yeah, that's exactly how I thought at the time. Now I'm helping authors promote books, and I'm helping you to understand how very, very important your work is, and that, you know, you can take all the courses you want in writing, but this is something that is within you. You are just, you have the touch. And I don't know if you're planning to write a novel at some point, but I could see easily a novel mixed with your poetry. It's just, there's so many possibilities for you. You have that way with words and that understanding, I think, of pain and suffering, which is important. When somebody is writing a book, you know, particularly a book where you might want to appeal and help people, because that's what you want to do, to understand that pain and how you can come out of it and how you can find joy is important. And I think you have an enormous possibility in the future.
Yeah, I definitely think that I wouldn't have been able to do any of this without my personal experience with, like, my struggle with mental illness. And while I'm not thankful that it happened, I'm thankful that my experience can eventually at least make people in the same situation feel less alone, or help them realize that they need to get help, or that I wouldn't say it makes it worth it, but it definitely is sort of a silver line.
Well, and it gives people hope, because when they see somebody become successful from something like this, they unexpected that somebody had problems and they didn't expect to become successful. Even they didn't expect to keep living. When people discover you, and I can see why you have so many followers, and I'm sure that you'll have many, many more, is that you give people hope that there are wonderful things that can happen in our life. And I know that I don't know if you've read Gail Honeyman's Eleanor Oliphant.
I haven't.
Well, you might want to read that. It might give you some ideas, because Gail Honeyman, British, and she wrote a book called Eleanor Oliphant is completely fine. And she never expected, believe me, she never expected to become such a hit author. But again, she had her struggles and she had her problems. It's a book that I think you really should look at. And I hope that perhaps in a year or two, you'll be back on Joy on Paper and we'll be talking about your first novel.
I've thought about, I don't know if I'd be able to write a novel. I'm
going to tell you something. I think you can do anything you want to do because you are brilliant. And that's as all I can say.
Well, I guess when my first novel comes out, I'll have to thank you.
That's right. You have to thank me, and you have to make sure that you send it to me and that you'll come back to Joy on Paper. And meanwhile, I'm so happy that your book has come out and that you are now, you know, out there and that you are going to get more and more fans. People have to go and see you on Instagram because you have a lot of your poems there, and it is really, really wonderful.
Yeah.
And get the book. It's called When the World Didn't End by Carolyn Kaufman, and it's a wonderful book, and her Instagram is at Poetic Poison. And Carolyn, I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
I want to thank you so much for having me.
Well, you are a joy, and keep writing, and make sure that you keep writing the way you want to write. Don't let other people influence you. Just be yourself, because I think you are absolutely perfect.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye now, Carolyn.
Bye.
Oh, right. Well, can you imagine this? 200,000 followers on Instagram, 2 books published, and she's still not sure what she got. Yeah, listen, I'm adding this to you, Carolyn, at the end because I'm going to put it up. You're fantastic. Just keep writing. You're going to be a hit because you are an amazing person and your poetry touches the heart. And so really, this is I had never even looked at Instagram until I got this notice, and it's worth going and following her and reading her poetry because she is a really, really lovely person and somebody that you learn from her because you learn from her writing. Anyway, it's been a great day. I got to talk to Karen Slaughter and to a Instagram wonder girl. It's been fantastic. Remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Or if you are very lucky to hear those words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a streaming video, a major motion picture, or a television series. Which reminds me that Carol J. Perry is going to be here on Joy on Paper on September 24th. And she's going to be here to talk about her new book coming out. And her last book is Final Exam. If you haven't read that one, go get Final Exam. And then be ready on September 24th. Carol J. Perry is going to be here, and we're going to be talking about her latest book, and it's going to be really exciting. Now, everybody say something nice to somebody today. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed. And he's saluting me. I'm saluting him. I have to get a hat. I have to start looking very military here. Okay, bye-bye, everybody.